show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here. I'm not really there, but I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And the reason why I say I'm not here or there, I'm actually in quarantine, and I'm so fortunate to have at studio at KBC, Jillian Barbary. Jillian,
hi,
thanks
Alan.
For jumping down into the studio to be with us today.
Always. It's a pleasure. And when I heard who our guest was, I was even more excited because as a girl growing up in Canada, I was just talking to my dad, who's 82, and he was an ice convener and played hockey, and my brother played in the OHL. When I told him who the guest was, he was very, very happy. And so was I.
And you have a history, Jillian, yeah, of being involved in sports. You were on Fox NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
You did skating with celebrities. You were a skater in childhood.
In Canada, I grew up a figure skater. I also taught, hockey players. I forget the name of it.
Power skating?
Power skating. Yes, thank you. Oh, my God. Am I getting old? And my brother played hockey as well. He was a goalie. I think it was junior B level. I don't think he made it to the OHL, but and so, you know, I knew the Gretzky's and all of those guys growing up, and it's just such.
Well, we've got someone greater than Gretzky.
I know. He's a hockey great.
And I won't say that because I'm sure he'll say that Gretzky was actually on equal ice with him. But, you know, it's our legend series today. We've had legends in law, F. Lee Bailey, and we've had producers and directors and actors and scholars. Today, for the first time, we're having a legend in hockey.
That's so cool.
Which is really exciting for both of us because we're both Canadian.
Yep.
I'm actually quarantining in Toronto. I just arrived in Toronto today from L.A.
I hope you have
here,
your warm snugglies.
For quarantine by myself.
It's freezing.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I love it. I watched the kids outside my house here. They were tobogganing, so that was fun.
Yes.
And I will be back in L.A. in 3 weeks. So I'm enjoying Canada, but, you know, I want to talk about our guest because we haven't said who it is, but it's really exciting because we both, Jillian and I, both are from Canada, both have lived in L.A. for many, many years. And, you know, Bobby Hull was always a name growing up,
yep,
and after, for the generations after ours, to respect and to love because he had so much, not only on the ice to enjoy, but off the ice as well. Quickly to go through Bobby Hull's resume is really incredible. We could take
quickly
an hour just to go through his resume.
I was just going to say that.
He was a 10-time NHL first All-Star team player. He won the Art Ross Trophy 1960, 62, and 66 as the top goal scorer. Hart Memorial winner, MVP of the league in NHL 65 and 66. Lady Bing, most gentlemanly player in 1965. He won the Stanley Cup in 1961. He was the third hockey player to appear on the cover of Time magazine. He appeared on Time magazine cover 5 times, played 15 seasons in Chicago, and 7 and some change in Winnipeg and a little bit in Hartford. Mm. He was the first NHL player to break 50 goals in a season. And then he jumped to the WHA, to my hometown of Winnipeg, and he was a 3-time first All-Star team member of the WHA, 2-time second All-Star team player. He was the MVP of the WHA in the 73 and 75 in the WHA Hall of Fame, and of course in the NHL Hall of Fame in 1983 induction. And he won 3 AFCO Cups with the Jets. There's a statue outside of the United Center in Chicago of Bobby Hull.
Mm.
It's quite amazing. He had 1,170 points in the NHL and another 638 in the WHA. What hasn't he accomplished? Bobby Hull, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Yay! Welcome. Bobby, can you hear us?
You know what I haven't accomplished?
What's that?
As Alan was speaking about going back to L.A. shortly, I can't get out of Chicago to go to my greatest fishing hole in the world, Lake of the Woods. They won't let me across the border to do my fishing.
Oh.
And I feel cheated not being able to get to my guys up there in Winnipeg to be able to do some walleye fishing.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lake of the Woods, Bobby, did you fish?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Where in the Lake of the Woods were you fishing before you could go? Around the Kenora area?
That's where we moored our boats, but we were all over the lake. We had fishing spots, if they weren't biting to the west, we'd go to the east. If it wasn't good fishing there, we'd go somewhere else. And it was just a wonderful experience. Hmm. I'm from around the Bay of Quinte area, near Belleville.
I know Belleville very well, yes.
Yeah, a little town called Point Anne, 500 people and 600 dogs. And I always thought that was the greatest walleye fishing in the country. But when I got fishing, and this is a point that I could never fathom, I played in Winnipeg the better part of 8 years. Not one of those fishermen ever invited me to fish during those 7 or 8 years when I played in Winnipeg. And then after I'd retired, I got to know a group of wonderful people around that fished the lake. And I did more fishing in Lake of the Woods than any place else.
Wow. And is that what you like?
Wonderful place to fish.
You know, I wanted to ask you, when you go to Belleville, do they have home of Bobby Hull, a big sign? I hope they do. And are there any statues in Canada? Alan was mentioning the one in Chicago. Do we have any in Winnipeg for you?
Well, there are two in Chicago, really, but... the little town that I'm from, 500 people and 600 dogs, called Point Anne on the Bay of Quinte, 7 miles east of Belleville,
mm-hmm.
At one time had a great big sign, 30 feet wide and high, that proclaimed Bobby Hull the greatest hockey player that ever lived. Whether it's still up or not, I really don't know, because when I moved to Winnipeg and then from there to Chicago and Florida, and I tried to get back. And first time I took some friends to drive them around the small town I was from, I went into a hole across the main road that they had dug a hole. They didn't want anyone down there. So that was the last time when I dug myself out of that hole. I never went back.
Oh my gosh.
You know, Bobby, you've dug yourself out of some holes and you've accomplished so much. When you look back on your career,
he without sin fire the first rock.
That's right. That's what I say.
You know, Bobby, when you look back on your career, what are you most proud of? I mean, it's been an illustrious career, so many accomplishments. What are you most proud of?
I think likely two things. The first one would be able to boast that I was the father of the greatest sniper that ever played in the National Hockey League, one Brett Hull. No one played
Brett.
The game within the rules
right.
as Brett Hull had.
God.
And no one could fire that puck and score goals in so many different ways than Brett Hull.
Oh,
I'm so proud of the way he conducted himself and how well he played the game within the rules. The other thing, when they asked me, Bobby, what do you want to be noted for after 23 years of professional hockey?
Mm.
And I think... I learned way back when I was quite young that we were in the entertainment business, and I was going to entertain those 22,000 people in the seats every game that I played. And I think it's being known as an entertainer and having so many people, when they meet me, tell me what a positive influence I was on their lives as they grew up playing our wonderful game.
It reminds me, Bobby, when you talk about that, when I was a little boy growing up in Winnipeg, I was 8 years old, and they had a skate with the Jets at the old Winnipeg Arena, and I stepped on the ice, and I was wearing my River Heights Cardinals jersey, and it had a cardinal on the front of the jersey, and you came up to me and you said, "Hey, Redbird, how you doing?" And you know, I was always known as Redbird after that because you called me Redbird.
That's great.
Isn't that something?
You know, you're a legend in so many ways. And I grew up in the outside of Toronto, Burlington, outside of Toronto. You know, I know where Belleville and Kitchener. I used to figure skate there. And you, as well as Brett, legends in my household. It was very much a hockey household. My dad played. My brother, we'd go to the rink, before and after school. And what fascinates me about, because Brett would be how old now?
Brett was born in 64.
So he's just about my age.
So you do the math. I wasn't too good in math.
He's 56. But he was certainly a big name. But I want to bring up something that fascinates me about your era. You played without helmets with a putt coming at you at, 70 miles an hour? That thing's hard as a rock, right?
Some of the weaker shooters shot it at 70. I shot it at 118 or 20.
I'm just thinking about, that's why all those hockey players back in the day, Alan, were missing teeth, and they were hardcore, you know? You talk about rugby and football, forget it.
Bobby was real men didn't wear helmets.
That's what my dad used to say. Oh, that's crazy.
If you were putting a hat on, you were afraid of getting hurt, and you couldn't play that game of hockey without going all out every second that you were on the ice. It's been such a wonderful sport, not only for the kids to bring them up with the game, but for the shut-ins. Hockey Night in Canada reached so many people across Canada from the East Coast, the Maritimes, to Vancouver, and it was
Monday
it was
nights.
Such a great night, Hockey Night in Canada with Foster Hewitt. Boy, the hair used to stand up at the back of my neck.
Me too.
When they'd say, "And now back to the Gondolin, Foster Hewitt," and boy, I want to tell you, without them, Hockey Night in Canada wouldn't have been the same.
You know what we ought to do is cue up that Hockey Night in Canada music. Yeah. That is the
I don't know if they have that.
Oh, it's the soundtrack of my childhood. Yeah.
Bobby, I want to ask you, Eddie Jockeman, who played goalie for the Rangers, said that he feared you every time you stepped on the ice. Now, back in the day, the goalies weren't wearing masks, and then you started using the curved stick, the banana blade, and you could fire that puck at any head. Why would a goalie stand in there when your slap shot was 120 and your wrist shot was probably close to that too? How did they handle it?
I believe that they were a fearless group, and I know some of them did get out of the way when I shot the puck, but I didn't on purpose shoot the puck at any part of their body. Once in a while, I used to get it up high and whiz it by their ears so it would hit the glass and then go all the way down the ice. And then I'd skate across in front of the goal and look at the goaltender and make him wonder, where the hell is he going to shoot it next? And, it was a form of intimidation. After 1963, when my good friend and and teammate Stan Mikita tried to break his Northland stick and put a wow in the blade. After practice, he shot some pucks and they said, Bobby, I'm going to call Northland and have him send me a half a dozen with a hook in the blade. I said, well, have him send me a half a dozen, only hook him to the left because I shot left and he shot right. And from then on, there was no stopping us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a 50-goal season almost every year. We have to take a quick break, Bobby, but we want to talk a little bit about your career in Chicago and then the transition to Winnipeg, where no one believed that you could take the league, the WHA, to even higher heights, and you did. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
There it is. Soundtrack of my life. Monday Jillian night hockey night in Canada.
We could listen to that all day long. Oh,
brings
We're
back
talking
memories.
We're talking to Bobby Hall. He's been called the Canadian Superman. He was compared to Mickey Mantle in the United States. He was made the Officer of the Order of Canada in 1978. The Blackhawks retired his number 9, in 1983. And he's in the Winnipeg Jets Hockey Hall of Fame, the inaugural class in 2016-2017. Now, Bobby, there was a sports writer in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune, named Bob Verdi. And I think he really summed you up. In 1972, he wrote, "He is the star of stars, yet he can be one of the guys. He is constantly badgered for this or that, yet he always has time to oblige a youngster's autograph pad. While his famous slap shot is terrifying at 115 miles per hour, blur, the man behind it can be almost gentle, an excellent conversationalist, a jokester, just a nice fellow who carries his fame as aptly as he jettisons the puck." Wow, that really sums you up in your career.
When Bob Verdi is a wonderful guy.
Do you remember when he said that about you?
I don't remember it. But I know what my job was. To begin with, to score goals. And when I started to score goals, then I was entertaining the people. And as I said earlier, that's what I want to be remembered as. Someone that entertained those 22,000 people every night at every game, not only in Chicago, but on the road. And Bob Verdi followed us around for many years. And he was with us firsthand anytime anything happened. And anything that Bob Verdi would write would be proof positive.
Well, you guys probably had to take, you know, I was married to a baseball player, and sometimes the guys that traveled with them, they'd have to be very careful because they'd either become really good friends or there was, you know, some sort of, well, you know, the guys were having fun. Let's just put it that way on the road. And they'd have to it very easy.
You have to have fun.
Yeah.
I remember watching Brett Hull when he started to fill the net. And when Brett Hull was on the ice talking with anyone that would listen and laughing and giggling, he was at his best. When Brett Hull was sullen and not happy, he couldn't put the puck in the ocean. But you have to have fun. It's a long season. Now 80-some games. We played it with 72 games. But a lot of stress on the players that want to be the best they possibly could be every shift out there. And when people ask, parents ask me, Bobby, how can my son make the NHL? I said, shoot them high, shoot them hard, and shoot them often, and be the best you possibly could be every shift, because you never know when someone's going to be watching.
That's right.
Didn't your dad take you to the old Maple Leaf Gardens when you were about 10 years old and you were watching Gordie Howe play, and he said to you, if you can shoot like that, you can play?
You stole my story, and you got it right on. We stood with my mother and dad. We went up on the train from Belleville to Union Station in Toronto, stood out in front of Maple Leaf Gardens on College Street in the sleet and the rain, waiting for the doors to open where we could rush. Back then, you could stand behind the Blues. And we were up quite close because we'd been waiting a long time. And my dad said, Robert, as soon as those doors open and you go through those turnstiles, go up those steps until the red turns to blue, and then make a hard right, and you'll be right in the building. And I did that. And I was the first one in that beautiful Maple Leaf Gardens where that ice was so pristine, the blue line so blue and the red line so red. And I stood at the rail right at the blue line where the Leafs defended twice. And I'm looking all over up and looking for Foster Hewitt and his gondola, where he would say, when they'd say, now back to the gondola, and Foster Hewitt said, right west, the teams are now entering the start of the third period. And as I said, the hair would be standing up on my back. And when he'd say, hello, Canada and hockey fans of the United States, this is your Imperial Essel Hockey Broadcast. Mm. I guess he said, and Newfoundland. That was before Newfoundland was in.
Oh, wow.
in the group. And I stood there, and just before the first period ended, Howe came down right in front of us, and he flicked those big wrists of his, and Al Rollins was in goal for Toronto, and he turned around and picked the puck out of the back of the net. You are absolutely right. My dad looked down at me, and I'm born 39, and this was 49. Oh. I was 10 years old, and he said, son, when you can shoot the puck like that, you can play in this league.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was eight short years later that I was playing against Gordon Howe.
Oh,
and
my gosh. Did you tell him the story?
And the likes of Ted Lindsay and Jean Béliveau, the class of the NHL, and jeez, Maurice Richard, and Bernie Geoffrion, and
Maurice
and all those great people that entertained so royally during those original six from when I broke in 57 all the way through to 67. And greatest years of my life. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it the same way.
You know, I have to ask you, because you talk about how you enjoyed playing and how you were entertainers, and you were known to stay behind signing autographs for every kid who wanted them for even an hour after the bus was supposed to leave. Why don't they do
little
that
story,
today? The players,
a little story where
you
in Montreal
them.
And I'm signing for the crowd, and what Billy Ray used to do is sick three of those big French policemen on me, and they'd surround me, and they'd just keep nudging me on as I'd walk along and sign autographs. And apparently I wasn't on the bus yet, but one of the smart asses in the back of the bus said, come on, let's leave them. Billy Ray got up and walked back. He said, now, so-and-so, if that was you out there, we'd leave you, but we don't leave Bobby Hull. There was another time in Montreal as well when there was a fight. They finally got me to the bus and on the bus, and my seat was second from the back on the right-hand side going back to the back of the bus. And there was a hell of a commotion up front. And all of a sudden I heard Billy Ray, get that GD kid off this bus. And I looked up, and here comes a kid down the aisle, looking left and right, trying to find me. And finally got to me, and he said, "Bobby, my name is Rajan Ool, and I'm going to be playing against you soon."
Oh,
and he just wheeled it away. He was playing junior hockey then, and it wasn't but a couple of years that he was playing against us.
That's unbelievable.
I know we're going to go to a break eventually, but I wanted to ask, did Gordie Howe, did you go back up to him when you were 18 and say, you don't might not remember this, but when I was 10 at Maple Leaf Gardens,
we talked about it.
So cool.
They said how what a tough guy Howe was, and he had already had 10 years in the league by the time I got there in 1957, and my rookie year, we're in Detroit. I'm playing against Howe, and we got coincidental minor penalties, and we headed for the penalty box and the old Olympia, and that's when some of those brave Andy Frame Astros sat in between the guys in the penalty box and to try to keep us apart if we were belligerent against one another.
Well,
but
the saying used to go.
We sat there for 2 minutes, and when the 2 minutes was just about up, well, I get a little ahead of myself. When we got to the penalty box, Howe opened the door to the side and let me get in first. And then when the penalty was just about up, he stood up and went up to the gate, and I followed him. And when the 2 minutes was up, he opened the gate and jumped on the ice. But before he left the gate, he swung it back closed and caught me in the gate and almost knocked me over. So I guess he was as tough as they said he was. And he's a wonderful man to play against all those years. And there's a guy that you could count on year after year after year. And no wonder he got the name of Mr. Hockey.
Mr. Hockey. You know, we have to take a break. If we don't take a break, we're going to be in the sin bin ourselves.
penalty box. I love it.
1 minute for looking so good.
Throw an elbow in your face. But we got a lot more to talk about with the legend, Bobby Hall. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the player...
Yeah, good old Stompin' Tom Connors.
That was something.
You remember him, Bobby?
Oh, yes, sir. Yep.
You know,
he was a great hockey fan.
He made
that wonderful tune.
He made with that song. He made hockey such a big deal. But
when he
jumped to the World Hockey Association, boy, that really brought not only Winnipeg to the map, but so many players received big raises because of your jest when you said, "Pay me $1 million and I'll leave the Blackhawks." Take us back to 1971 and 1972.
If we hadn't formed the WHA, and if Winnipeg hadn't stayed in the league and stayed solvent, and bring guys over from Sweden like Alfie Nelson and Anders Hedberg and Lars-Erik Hjorberg, those guys would still be picking dung with the chickens. we gave them a chance to bargain with another league. And we're the ones responsible for guys making millions of dollars.
Unbelievable.
And I would say millions, 10 millions a year playing the game of hockey. We just hope that they know why they're out there, and they know that the important people are the kids growing up, and for them to be the kind of idols, that kind of people that these kids can idolize on their way up towards manhood. It's a wonderful game, and it's a wonderful game played at any age, and I'd love to watch the little guys out there, the mites and squirts and termites so just starting, and I love to go to Midnight League and watch the guys still playing.
Yeah, the older guys
at near my age, and I just had another birthday, kids. 82. Can you imagine?
Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations.
My dad is also
82. And you're bringing back so many memories of he and my brother coming home and him airing out his hockey equipment. I remember the smell. I remember Hockey Night in Canada music. And I wanted to ask you because, you know, the money today, you know, you're an entertainer. I love that you compare it to entertainment. There's no difference. I mean, you're entertaining millions of people, no different than a movie, a TV show. But you're also the added element of sport and competitiveness. You played for a very long time. What's the average, do we know now, of a hockey player's lifespan on the ice? And how long did... I don't know what it is. I know you played for a long time.
I don't know, Julia, it is now what the average is.
Yeah.
But if you played back in the original six and you were worth your salt and upwards of a 20-goal scorer, you could play as long as you wanted to, as long as you put out every game. Hmm. And that's why a lot of players back then played for 20-some-odd years, and of course, Gordon Howe, I think, four decades, if I remember correctly, four or five. And and we had to play, kids. Think about it. When I broke in, I made $6,500, and I really thought I was cutting a mean swath. $6,500, yeah. I had to go back and throw cement bags around at the Canada Cement Company in Pointe-Aux, or Coke, a case of Coke, delivering Coke. They had to have an extra job.
Wow.
During the summer to be able to survive.
That's crazy.
Wow. You know,
oh my gosh.
When you talk about that, whoever thought in 1972 that you would sign for a $1 million signing bonus with the Winnipeg Jets when nine teams caught together in the WHA and put in $110,000 each so that they could bring the great Bobby Hull to the WHA? Whoever thought? Now, when you made the jump, Bobby, weren't you a little concerned that that wasn't the right thing to do, even though the money was great?
My dad said, Robert, I hope you know what you're going to do. I'd never been to Winnipeg before. And he said, I've talked to people that have lived there, and they're not going to like those cold winters. they're going to want a lot out of you to keep that league going. I hope you know what you're up against. And, of course, after I make a decision, she's all ahead, two-thirds, and away we went. And it was a great challenge. And we brought professional hockey into areas of Canada and the United States in small centers that ordinarily wouldn't have got professional hockey. And we gave the youngsters coming out of junior hockey a place to display their wares and to become the great stars and all-stars and such as your Wayne Gretzky's and your Mark Messier's and Glenn Anderson's
and don't forget, Bobby.
And so many more.
Don't forget.
Gave them a chance to prove that they were pro material and stayed for many years.
But you really changed the style of play when you were in Winnipeg because of a foreign influence with the hotline. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I had a growing disease on my knee called Osgood-Schlatter disease, and it was fine. I was about 9 years old. I went to a doctor named Dr. Jerry Wilson. When I say that name, how did Dr. Gary Wilson, the guy who told me that I was going to be just fine, not to worry about it, change hockey for you and others playing in the WHA?
Well, Jerry Wilson had a set of twins, and they were the same age as my second boy, Blake, and they played on a line together, and they tried to play. They watched Alfie Nelson and Anders Hedberg and Bobby Hull, and they tried to play just like us. And the influence, we brought over not only those two guys, but Lars Eric, as I said before, Mats Lind, Billy Lindstrom, Danny LeBrotten, Kurt Larson. Then we got Tommy Bergman from Detroit. He had been over from Sweden. And then a couple of Finns, Veli Pekka Kettle and Heikki Ruoho. And we were a real... we had a real European influence. And I don't think, if you talk to anybody in Winnipeg that went to our games, that you wouldn't get the retort that that was the greatest line in professional hockey.
Wow.
The most entertaining line in professional hockey. Hedberg, Alf Nilsson, and Bobby Hull, Brett Hull's dad.
Oh, that's
wow,
so cool.
Brett Hull's dad, that's nice. But yet, in 1972, you couldn't play in the Summit Series because of the politics of moving to the WHA. What did it feel like when you finally played on maybe the greatest team ever, the 1976 Canada Cup team?
You're absolutely right. The greatest disappointment in my career was not being able to play in 72 because I talked with my dad, and he knows hockey, and he was the guy that taught me how to. He said, you skate this way, and you skate that way, and you pass this way, and you pass that way, and you shoot this way, and you shoot that way, and you stop this way, and you stop that way. He was the guy that taught me at a very young age all the right ways to do things. And I said, Dad, if the Soviet Union, or if you want to call them, if Russia was going to challenge the best in the world, so-called the NHL, they have a good chance of winning or tying because that's the only positive propaganda they have is through their sports.
That's right.
Right.
And it sure as hell politically, they weren't that sound as far as we were concerned. But I said, if they're going to challenge the best in the NHL, they're going to have a chance of winning or losing. And sure enough, when you saw Petrov, Arlamov, Vasiliev, Gusev, Shadrin, Maltsev, and that group play, and Vladislav Tretiak, the great goaltender, you knew that they could play. They couldn't fool me if they tried to say they couldn't skate, and they couldn't pass, they couldn't shoot. And whoever NHL sent over there to scout them came back and said, oh, they can't skate, they can't pass, they can't shoot, they got poor goaltending. I wonder who that was.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Bobby, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about your really fantastic website, bobbyhull.ca, and one of the projects you're pursuing, your hockey series.
Oh,
really
yes.
Interesting stuff. So we want to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Do you play hockey?
And I says, do I play hockey?
Well, I play air hockey, ball hockey, bird hockey, bubble hockey, field hockey, floor hockey, ice hockey.
This is actually my son Hudson and my daughter Harper's favorite song. Living
song.
In LA, they don't get to hear a lot about hockey, but they love this hockey song. Do they play hockey? You know, we're having such a great time. I'm here with Jillian Barbary, and we're talking to the legend Bobby Holland. Before the break, he mentioned his son Blake, and it just brought back memories for me. I remember playing baseball with Blake Hull. He was on the White Sox in Little League. Brett Hull was on the Tigers. I was on the Dodgers. And then later on, I played with Bob Jr. We played for the Lloyd Roberts Beavers. And it's just to bring back the memories, Bobby, it's so special, and we appreciate you. Your memory to the specifics is so incredible.
It is.
Bringing back.
Thank you for doing it, because I was telling Alan in the break, every person you named, I almost want to tear up. And, you know, Bobby Hull, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. I even if you're not a hockey fan, I'm a big fan of those wonderful series that Netflix puts together. They did The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. They did the Tiger Woods one. You know, I haven't really seen any hockey documentaries with the GOATs, the greatest of all times. And that makes me think of you. Of course, a few other people are on that list, but would that, you
well,
know,
Jillian,
yeah.
There was a guy that you missed there, Mike Pyle. Do you remember that name? He played. He's a great fan of ours. And when we fish down the Lake of the Woods, Mike Pyle is there, flying us in and flying us out, and fishing with us, along with Craig and Tom and Pat. And Mike was telling me a story about pitching against Brett Hull, and apparently struck him out one inning, but the next time up, Brett grilled one back and conked him in the head and knocked him first over two kettles.
When I was a kid, Bobby,
don't throw that pitch again.
I never saw a kid so stocky and so strong as Brett Hull, and we were 9 years old.
Really?
He was a powerhouse. But let's talk
a little bit before he was a better baseball player than a hockey player.
I just can't believe the you know, you're the hockey player, an NHL great. Your son's an NHL great. You've got baseball. It's in the blood. And I also love that back then it was all sports. Now kids are on their stupid computers all the time.
All right. We have to talk about BobbyHull.ca. Yeah. It's a great website. Bobby, tell us about it and tell us about your project. I've watched the videos of Mike Bossy, and I've watched the video of Brad Park. Tell us what you're working on.
Well, Rennie Thibodeau from out here out western in the Calgary area has put, I want to say, hundreds of hours in, I would say, maybe thousands of hours, looking up people that people wanted to hear about. And I hope we weren't just a little bit too late. We lost guys on the wayside, by like Gordon Howe, Ted Lindsay, Jean Béliveau, Maurice Richard, Bernie Jeffrion, Terry Sawchuk, people like we have Glenn, we have we have a group of guys that are great players, have been great players, like Brad Park and Jerry Cheevers, a wonderful goaltender, along with Billy Smith, and then that line, two-thirds of that line, Mike Bossy and Clark Gillies, along with Brian Trotche. We were looking for Brian. And let me tell you a little story about Clark Gillies. Back in, we ran into one another in 1972 when I went to Winnipeg. We would practice, and Clark was a Regina Pat, and he would watch us practice. And when everyone was going off the ice, he'd holler to me, "Bobby, come on over and stay out in the ice with us and show us how to skate and shoot." And he was just the nicest kid you'd ever want. Wow. And he went on to be one of the great left wingers in the league, and a great tough left winger. And then we've got Daryl Sittler, Yvonne Cournoyer, Luke Robitaille, Marcel Dion, and I played likely on one of the great times you mentioned, the 76 Canada Cup, likely the greatest team Canada ever put together.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I was teamed up with Marcel Dion and Gilbert Perreault. Oh. And there were three of us shooting it in and four fishing them out. They were just wonderful to play with.
Legends.
And,
that's great.
Serge Savard, and I mentioned that the hits. Rene's got Wayne Gretzky on tape, Normie Ullman, Alex Delvecchio, Chris Chelios, Steve Shutt. I hope we haven't missed some of the greats, and we have in your house and that group.
Bobby, when can we expect
we want to get more. We want to get Glenn Anderson and Mark Messier and Yari Kouri and Marty McSorley and that group of people.
You know, Bobby, it's going to be incredible. The site is bobbyhull.ca. Bobbyhull.ca. We're going to look for it because I'm telling you, everyone needs to go to that site. It's got some great stuff, and you can get some memorabilia from Bobby Hull. You know, before we let you go,
yes.
Bobby, you just have to say to me one time, how's it going, Redbird? Can you say that?
Yeah. And you want to know, in a little while, Greg Moore's card company is going to be selling some of my memorabilia. And it can go on our website, too. And if you know of anyone that would be worth taping, you tell them to call Rene Thibodeau, 403-835-5312. Can I repeat that? Area code 403-835-5312. We'd love to hear from you, and we're looking for someone to MC that group of guys that would stand up there and
Bobby
and lead them in.
It's bobbyhull.ca. Bobby, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a great honor.
What an honor. Pleasure. Thank
the
you
pleasure,
so much, Mr.
Pleasure
Hull.
Pleasure has been mine.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bobby, be well. That's going to do it. Jillian, thanks for being with us today.
I think we just made Big Jim's day. That's my dad. He is going to
Wonderful.
Love this. Yeah. Thank you so much, Alan. It's
thanks
lovely to see you.
Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. See you next
This
week.
Show was furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.